This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 211.
We're coming out with more sexual puns.
Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And welcome to yet another episode of our wonderful weekly podcast.
Hey guys.
How you doing?
What's up?
Do you have a fresh cup of whatever the hell it is you like to drink when you listen to our show? If you don't, go get one. We'll wait. Okay, I hope you got it, because we're not going to wait that long. It's been a busy week for us, and as a matter of fact, this is one of the few episodes where Panda and I are actually sitting right next to each other while we actually do the show. It's like, I can reach out and I can poke you.
Ow, and you have nails! God, the pain!
Feel the pain!
And they're real!
Just like the news that's on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use the short address, which is
ESH.mobi. That's ESH.mobi. The short address will bounce you to the long one, and you can check out any articles that were written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles, or even just questions for us, you can email us at our new email addy, mailbag@landofash.com. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, then you need to go there and subscribe.
Hit the button. It's a good thing for you to do. You'll get all the wonderfulness, which is Ash, in your little iTunes digital packet the moment we make it out there. The moment it hits the interwebs, boom, fresh Ash, right at your fingertips. And then we're in your head. We're entering through your ear cavity, like whoa.
And if you don't want to do that and get that way, you can plug us in to any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But be looking out for some great shows that come out of our camp, too.
That's right. We're not the only thing that happens in the Land of Ash. I mean, it's not just us. So while you're listening to our new shows that come out on every Monday, there are other podcasts that we have within the Land of Ash that you should check out. There are new episodes of the Boston Bass Brigade, found at bostonbassbrigade.com, and their podcast episodes come out every single Tuesday. And on Wednesday, you can follow up that awesomeness with even more awesomeness from the Geek Agro podcast, which comes out on Wednesday. So right there, boom, 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 we get you to the hump day as far as podcast goodness in your ear holes go. And then for the rest of the week and weekend, there's all the different stuff that we write on all of our websites, which you can find at all the respective websites or just by simply visiting landofesh.com, as well as the things that we're doing on Twitter and on Facebook and on Flitter. So make sure that you pick a venue or pick them all and interact with us, because we love doing that. We like reaching out and touching someone.
I touch people every day.
Yeah. You're dirty like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a problem. And it's a process. So make sure that you're checking all that stuff out. Everything is written by us, for you, and us, so it's a win-win, really.
Yeah.
Do it!
Do what she says, please.
Yeah. Because otherwise I'll have to poke.
Ow! Don't let her do that to me!
Stop the violence.
No! The pain! Stop!
Only you can prevent
forest
fires.
Don't make me call Mom!
Don't do that. She'll come running and then I'll get hurt.
Yeah.
That'll be bad.
Oh, and buy our magazine.
Oh, yeah. Can't forget the magazine, because we want you to buy it. Because it's chock full of awesomeness. That's, you know, from our hearts. From our nerdy little hearts. So make sure that you get a hold of that. You can find that at landofesh.com. And for a simple nominal fee of $5.99, you can have a magazine that's just talk full of pictures and color and words. It's awesome. But you can only see it if you buy it. So make sure that you grab a copy. New issues come out really soon.
Yeah.
Kinda schmexy.
Think you'll like it.
Know you'll like it. So get on that. Like for reals, though, and not even for play.
Yeah, you heard her.
Yeah. I guess that's all the business.
Yeah, I think so.
So it's time to get down to the nitty gritty. The nitty. And the grit.
Which one am I?
I think that you would be the nit, just because I think I like grits a little bit more.
Actually, yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, so I think you would be the nit, and I would be the grit.
Okay.
And together we would be the nitty gritty.
Whoa.
That's how it works. Yeah, so let's get down to it. Big weekend. Lots of stuff going on.
So much.
Biggest thing for us, Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, yes.
So, the whole awesomeness of Scott Pilgrim, I'm actually going to just grill you about.
Okay.
Because I think you're a little bit newer to the Scott Pilgrim universe than I am.
Yeah, probably.
So, video game, the comics, the movie.
Yep.
Where would you like to start?
Obviously, I would probably want to start with the comic. I saw
We're going to begin with the Begin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I had read the first three several months ago, almost nearly a year ago. And King Baby Duck lent me the last three. Got through those within, like, a day, because comic book reading's a lot easier than, like, novel reading.
And yeah, there are pictures. There's way more pictures.
And obviously, like any comic turned movie, you know, there's always a lack of details. But I mean,
no!
Yeah.
No!
Yeah.
Say it ain't so, Panda.
I can't. I'd be lying.
Don't be a liar.
I don't. That's why I'm telling the truth.
Because your pants will end up on fire.
What pants? Oh! Anyway, obviously going into these comics, you know, you should always understand that there's a lot, there's always subplots going on, there's a lot more character detail going on, and you...
Would you say that they were more likely to, oh, I don't know, fuck you up?
I don't want to say that the movie fucked up the comic book, because, I mean, a lot of stuff was true to the comic book. They did a very good job, I think, in terms of cast, except... I would probably say, and I know some people are going to be like, why is Panda going to say this?
Because?
Michael Cera, as much as I love him.
And, I love Michael Cera.
And I do. I love him.
He's so
And
awesome.
I think he did a great job as Scott Pilgrim. But I do think he might not have been the best for this role. I don't remember what the dude's name is, but the leading man in Zombieland, I think, would have made a better... Got.
Oh, the kid that was in Adventureland?
Yeah. I don't know what his name is. I think he's going to be the lead in the Facebook movie also.
Yeah, he is.
But I honestly think that they should
have... The Social Network.
Yeah.
We don't want to call it the Facebook movie. Because it's not the Facebook movie.
But
it's the Facebook movie. But it's the Social Network.
Movie. So, I mean, if we could have taken both of them and switched them around, I actually think we would have had a better fit. Obviously, going in, if you know anything about the comic, Scott is 25 years old in the comic.
Right.
And if you read the comic, you also know he's dating a high schooler, which is kind of... I don't think it's that bad, but, I mean, apparently they make such a big issue of it, you know, in the comic. And they do that in the movie also. But they brought Scott down to, I think he was about 23.
Okay.
In the movie. And I think that might also be because Michael Cera isn't near 25. I think he's in his early 20s.
Yeah, he is.
And he doesn't look like a 25. Even the youngest 25-year-old I know doesn't look like, you know, looks 25 easily. But Michael Cera doesn't. And it makes sense because he's not. So, I mean, and I also think they made him a little younger so that the age difference between him and Knives would not seem so big.
Well, Michael Cera looks really young to begin with.
So there's no way if he had said, oh yeah, I'm 25, I'd be like, no, you're not. You a liar. Because I'm 26.
Like, I think most of us still, when we see Michael Cera in movies, even in Youth and Revolt, still see super bad Michael Cera who sells high school.
Yeah, he does. So I think there are probably different reasons why they brought that down. And I don't like the idea of it because, I mean, obviously the tension with him dating a high school girl is because of the fact that he's in his mid-20s. Not very driven, not working, kind of a slacker.
And falling back into that kind of, like, you know...
not wanting to grow up.
Matthew McConaughey character in Dazed and Confused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, I don't like the idea that they did that. I really think they should have just found someone who looked more age-appropriate. I mean, in terms of deliverance of a character, I think he did it. I do think he did it. But do I think there was another candidate who could have done it better? Yes, I do. When we went, there weren't that many people in the theater. And I know it's been, what, about 2 weeks since it came out. I think it came out last weekend. And I know that they were saying that the numbers weren't nearly as high.
Right, because there were like four or five movies that debuted came out that last weekend. And the Scott Pilgrim movie was running in the fourth place position. But, you know, I'm not surprised that it wasn't like the number one thing at the box
office. I wasn't expecting it to be number one.
But it seemed like the geek community really expected it to be. And I was kind of surprised by the reaction of most people in the community. It was like, great for, you know, killing creative movies. And I don't think that it's the death of the movie. And no. I don't think that it's the death of creative movies. But, you know, the fact is that, you know, there are people that were trying to torrent the movie as opposed to going to the movie.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a very hard sell because it's a very small piece of the gaming community, really,
yeah,
that knows and loves Scott Pilgrim. Like, I didn't discover Scott Pilgrim until well over a year ago, you know, and even at that, like, I never imagined that Scott Pilgrim would become a movie. Yeah, I always thought it should, because I really love the series, but I never thought that anybody would take enough look at it and would think that there was a big enough audience to go and make it a feature-length film.
I don't think so. I mean, believe it or not, I mean, I think I was watching a thing on the Xbox where it was like a little like teaser, like interview session thing. And the guys who were directing it were like, you know, they drew from so many different walks. They were drawing from the gaming community. They were drawing from the anime, you know, community, and then general comics altogether. So when you have three different fan bases, all that, you know, don't tend to interact a lot outside of their respective zones. So, I mean, trying to get them all together in one room, I would expect some shanking.
Somebody might get cut.
Somebody would get, yeah, someone would make a reference that another person would be like, there'd be trolls, it would be pretty bad, there'd be no ban hammer, and someone would get stabbed.
Yeah.
So.
Anybody remember Comic-Con? Just saying.
Exactly. But I mean, was the movie enjoyable? Yes. And for people who read the comics religiously, obviously there are things that they don't describe. You know, they don't really go into.
Well, before you get into that, why don't we talk a little bit about the story behind Scott Pilgrim? Because some of you may actually just be hearing about Scott for the first time.
Ever.
And shame on you, but that's okay. We're here to educate.
Okay.
We're here to help.
Pretty simple. You have your protagonist, Scott Pilgrim, in the realm of the comic, 25 years old, lives in Toronto, Canada, doesn't really aspire to do much with his life, has a band, the Sex Bombs, with two friends, I think one pretty much from high school, and I don't know if he was friends with Steven Stills in high school, but I know he was with Kim Pine.
Yeah.
And that's all he does. He doesn't aspire to do much of anything. You get this sense that he's kind of naive about everything, or likes to play oblivious to everything. And one night he is at this party, he's dreaming first. He has this dream first, and in this dream he sees this girl, and he wakes up next to Wallace, his gay roommate, because if you read the comic, you realize he lives pretty much in a box with a bed on the floor, and everything in the apartment is actually Wallace's. He really doesn't have much to contribute to the living space.
Right.
Because he doesn't have any money.
Right.
And he wakes up, and he's like, man, I just had this dream about this girl, and, you know, and he can't get her out of his mind. And while he's out one day with his girlfriend Knives, the high schooler, he actually sees this girl that was in his dream. Kind of throws him off, because he kind of just thought it was just, you know, subconscious forming a woman, and realizes that she's real. He has this other friend named Julie, who is really just the queen of the bitches. She's just not happy with anything. And I don't know who the actress was, but she's exactly how I thought she would be.
Okay.
You know, and And every time, because she swears a lot, and you know, this wasn't a rated R movie, so they actually bleeped her out, and her bleeps were the sound of a modem shaking, hand shaking.
Oh, nice.
So like, and if you don't know about a modem and how it sounds when it's actually hand shaking, well then
you're not really our audience.
No, but that's okay.
It's all right. We still love you though.
And
like so big.
But anyway, it's her party. And she invites Ramona, you know, and Scott gets wind that she's at this party, and he's like, I have to get to know her. She exists. I just got to figure this out. And he sees her, and he approaches and completely just fucks up the first impression, like, utterly. You know, he kind of goes back into that schoolboy mentality, you know, the stalking, the, you know, he's just so... It's so weird because he's so much older than Knives, and yet here he was acting as if he was younger than Knives. So, I mean, he's got a very childish mentality about everything. He's not very grown up at all, which is kind of one of the points. And he finds out that Ramona, that's her name, finds out that she works for Amazon, and she does deliveries. So he decides to try to get her to his house by buying something and getting it delivered. And sure enough, it happens. And he pretty much refuses to sign for this package until she agrees to go out with him. You know, and she's kind of just like, really? And he's like, yeah. She's like, can I just go? She just wants to leave. She really doesn't want anything to do with him. And he just bullies her into going out with him. And they do this one night. They kind of sit on some swings. They just talk. It's not very, it's just a getting to know you date. And it actually goes fairly well for Scott. And next thing you know, he gets thrust into this ongoing battle, because you know Ramona doesn't really tell him about herself, and she likes to play aloof, and you know, you find out that she is being pursued by this league of exes, not to say ex-boyfriends, even though they say it a lot in the movie. And this league of exes, they are determined to control her love life for the rest of her life. So anytime she becomes interested and or goes on a date, whoever that guy happens to be, they all begin to challenge this person for her. You know, and Scott first doesn't realize that this is really serious until he goes out one night to go see Clash and the Boys, which is another band. If you don't know anything else about the comic, music's a really big part,
right,
of the comic. And they go to go see this band. They're in a battle of the bands, and a fight ensues with Matthew Patel. I think he's the first one. You know, and Scott... I mean, it's really funny the way that they do this in the movie, because in the comic it was pretty much like a straight up just fight out of nowhere, and in the movie they're performing when Matt Patel shows up, you know, and I mean they did it really well, but it kind of threw me off in the movie because when he first introduces himself to Scott, you know, it's weird because when they start the fight, Patel bursts out into song. So I was like, wait a minute. Because he didn't do that in the comic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm like, this is not going to turn into, like, each evil ex has a song. I'm like, what? I'm like, musical?
Yeah.
Like, it completely threw me off. And I'm like, that didn't happen in the comic. Where'd that come from? Like,
mind fuck.
And I'm like, Matt Patel was already kind of a pussy. And they gave him a really crappy song.
Aww.
So it wasn't even like, I'm going to kick your ass song. Like, it was a mixed Bollywood fusion, sticky bass beat thing.
Really?
It was gross.
Ew.
It was gross. You know, but his demon chicks, because he's got mystical powers. If you played the game, you'd know that. But,
or, yeah.
You know, and they looked really cool, but he never utilized them in the fight, because literally during the introduction, sticky bassline beat Bollywood song, pretty much Scott kicks his ass. He KOs him really, like you know how bad guys in comics, like, they monologue, and by the time they're done monologuing, the hero has either saved the girl or defeated. That's exactly what Scott did. You know, and the night goes on. You know, and, I mean, they threw everything, like, everything was linear in terms of the story, but there were so many side stories that obviously they don't have time to branch in a movie,
right,
that you miss out on. And, I mean, if you never read the comics and went to go see this movie, you would find it enjoyable for what it was. But you would go out going, well, why is that person important? what's going on with this person? Like, they don't really go into, you know, they don't really go into knives. You see him dating her for a while, and then you see him starting to show interest in Ramona, and we already know, well, if you've read them, then you know that he cheats on Knives with Ramona, vice versa, actually, if you really want to be technical about it. And he never full-on breaks up with Knives until way later. And he actually broke up with her in the movie, you know, and she kind of doesn't get it. But she's also, like, 17, and when you're 17, you don't get a lot anyway,
right?
So, I mean, but it was still really enjoyable, and besides that one horrible Bollywood musical scene, like I said, I was really worried that all the evil exes were going to have some song like that, but they only gave it to him. So, okay, that works. I was like, I can scratch that off my things to remember about the movie. And, I mean, everything else proceeds as follows. And he pretty much encounters each of the exes in the progression that she dated them. And Ramona does give him, you know, a little detail as to how that relationship happened, when. So, I mean, these guys have been pursuing her since, like, the 7th grade. Patel was in 7th. I think Lucas came right after that. I mean, they all came relatively close to each other, except for Gideon. I think Gideon was the last one she had. And I think it was well after she was out of school.
Yeah.
But... I mean, the comedy was spot on. I really do like I said, outside of the main character, the main actor, I think everybody else fit the roles that they played. They did kind of mess up the ending a little bit.
Which we won't go into.
Right. But I'm just saying,
no spoilerlicious for you.
If you're hardcore of the comic, then you will be slightly peeved at how the end goes. Or not even necessarily the ending, but, like, if you're going by a traditional story, the denouement right before the ending of a book, like that little rising action before the fall, it's not exactly right. But people who don't read the comics wouldn't know. And the people who do would be like, I can understand why they really didn't do that, but for my personal enjoyment, I was actually looking forward to how they were going to represent that. Music was great outside of that one
Bollywood,
yeah,
bastard.
Everything else was really awesome. They really captured, like I said, each of the actors who were the 7 exes really did a great job. They actually got Japanese twins to be the Japanese twins.
Yay!
That she dated. That battle was a little off for me because if you read the comic, it's not exactly right. But it does still present itself in a way that I could see it happening. Like, I can see the author of Scott Pilgrim saying, maybe that's how I would want. It's like, maybe he drew that and then didn't follow up. Like, he didn't put that as the actual fight. It seemed like something that would have worked either way. Both scenarios would have worked for a fight. But really good. Really good. I loved all the comic references. You know, like, if someone went dashing somewhere, you saw the word dash. Like, it was very artistic and definitely different from any movie that we've seen in the comic, anime,
well, you know, here's universe. Here's the thing that I want to bring up, because, you know, Scott Pilgrim versus the World, as far as, you know, the comics go, are definitely heavily influenced by music and by video games. You know, Brian Lee O'Malley, huge gamer, and, you know, has said that, you know, it's one of his more favorite things to work on, and one of his more favorite pastimes to do is to either be deep into music or to be deep, you know, into video games. And so, you know, to have the movie that really tries to blend a lot of that stuff, you know, the comic influence and the video game influence, as far as, you know, the battles going and, you know, being like versus fights from, yep, you know, a classic fighter that you would play, mm-hmm, video game wise.
And that would happen, right? When a battle would ensue, you see a little versus sign flashing between who it was that was fighting. Very, very detailed in that.
Yeah. You know, and I think that, you know, as a gamer and somebody in the community, that's a cool thing to see and, you know, makes me want to see it and appreciate it. But I think, and I'm curious to know what you think, was it one of the things that contributed to making it a hard sell? Because one thing that, you know, I think it's Universal. Yeah, I think it's Universal. You know, what's having difficulty was, you know, the original trailers that they cut to promote the Scott Pilgrim movie really focused more on that game side and the battle side and really Scott. And as those weren't testing well with women, they started changing the trailers to really cut more towards playing up Ramona and playing up the relationship and playing up, you know, all of these guys from her past coming back and Scott having to deal with it and trying to really kind of pitch it to women that, hey, this is a chick flick. You know, do you think that those were at cross purposes? And that may be why not a lot of people went to see it opening weekend.
Well, now that I hear about that, I mean, of the few trails that I did see, I mean, even, and I think I saw the ones where they were, where you saw a lot more of Ramona and the relationship aspect of the story. Believe it or not, even though this was kind of like a love story, it really didn't come off like a chick flick.
Right, because it shouldn't.
It really was not purposed in that.
It's not.
So I don't know why they would cut a trailer to make it look that way. You know, then again, I have no other gaming movies that looked one way and then were completely different when you got into the seat at the theater. Gamer, I'm looking at you.
Yeah. Like, seriously.
Yeah. So, do I think that might have been... that? It could easily have been a reason. But no, this definitely wasn't a chick flick. Could I say that this would be a date movie? I mean, if both people going on this date had interest in any of these three things, if not all three, then fuck yeah. Like, yeah, I would say that. I'm trying to think about what else I would say. Yeah.
You know, because one of my things about Scott Pilgrim was, you know, like I had said earlier, was I wasn't sure that there would be a big enough audience that would have knowledge of Scott Pilgrim going in to, you know, make this a box office hit.
I wasn't expecting it to be a box office, and I wasn't expecting it to be number one on the charts, but I wouldn't have thought it would be the fourth. I really thought it probably would have come in at a third out of the movies that debuted on that weekend. But no, I would not have expected it to be number one. Just like Gamer. I mean, granted, we were all over the place. There are people who are interested in this everywhere. But, I mean, getting all of us together on one... I'm like, there's no way. There are too many things going on. I mean, granted, I think we should do a lot better because, you know, the Twihards ambushed the theaters all the time. And the, you know, Harry Pottwites, they do it too.
Are you inventing these words on the spot?
Well, Pottwites I did. Twihards? Twihards is a real term.
The more you know.
But it's just, you're right. I don't think the followings are big enough.
You know, like for me, when I heard about the movie, I was really excited about it. And I was hoping that people would go out and really support it and that it wouldn't suck. You know, and I really wanted them.
Oh, it doesn't suck.
Yeah. And I really wanted them to, you know, blend the comic book type feel into the movie better than Ang Lee's Hulk did. Because I felt like it was just thrust on.
Ang Lee the one with Banner? Or was Ang Lee the one with... Okay.
Yeah, his was the one with Eric Banner and, like, Nick Nolte. And
Eric Banner's not Hulk. He was wimpy. That's why it was such a big difference when he turned all big. But Banner's already kind of big and green.
Yeah, I definitely preferred, and of course I'm drawing a blank now.
Edward Norton.
Thank you. I absolutely prefer his Bruce Banner.
Agreed.
And I'm saddened that he won't be playing Bruce Banner Hulk in the Avengers movie, but whatever. We'll get back to that on another show, and I will completely rip a new asshole for people for that, because that's just messed up. And, you know, schedules could be worked around because Ed Norton should be Bruce Banner in any kind of movie that they do moving forward that the Hulk is involved with. And that's just my personal opinion. If you don't write it, you can send me an email, mailbag@landofesh.com. I will not change my opinion, but you're more than welcome to share yours. But I really would have preferred, especially after seeing the short that was done on Scott Pilgrim on Adult Swim Thursday night, right when the movie released. After watching that, was like, dude, this would so be great fodder for an animated series.
Which I actually think they are planning to do.
They're,
I think they're in the thought birthing process.
I'm pretty sure that they're in the birthings process, but I'm not. I don't know if it's a done deal yet or not.
Well, we'll wait and find out. We'll wait and we'll find out.
They've said some things at Comic-Con. I think I can't remember what, but I hope to Jesus it becomes an animated series, because then you really can take the time to go into the subplots, and I think that...
Which I really think they should, because a lot of those subplots tie into the main one.
Yeah.
Like, they're not just subplots to lead to a filler arc. I mean, they all have something to do with... They all have something to do with that main road.
I mean,
is the main road, you know, portrayed accurately as far as, you know, the story goes? Yes. But there was so, you know, like, there'd be a rock somewhere on the road, and you're like, I know this rock is important because it's bigger than all the gravel on the road, but they never address
it.
I mean, and not to mention, you know, they really didn't go into a lot of the supporting characters. You know, I mean, they really should have gone into them a little bit more. They don't even really branch off on Negascot very well.
Really?
Really, which obviously is a very crucial part to Scott himself. If you don't know, you need to read him right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when that part came up, I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, that would be the, you know, because there's nothing wrong with ending a movie on an epic battle. Never anything wrong with that.
Have you seen Highlander?
Lord of the Rings.
Have you?
I mean.
Ever?
You can't go wrong with this ending. Don't get me wrong. And it was, and that was fine. And I mean, actually, I do believe in the comic. It ended on the big battle.
The big battle.
Which makes sense. But in the movie, they jumped a bit and they did the big battle. I'm not going to say how that ends because you'll go to see it or you'll read it and you'll know. But then right at the end of that is when, oh God, Scott's got to has to combat with Negascot. Now, if you read the comic, you know how that happened in the comic, totally not at all in the movie. I actually don't have any problem spoiling this because it's really not a spoiler at all. After the big battle, everything's settled. You think the end of the movie's going to happen. Negascot shows up and, you know, Scott's all, I have to handle this myself. And it's this big, you see this big flash of a golden title that says solo round. So, you know, Scott's got to face this by himself. Ramona and whoever else is hanging around, not going to say who, they go outside to, you know, just hang out. And 2 seconds later, Scott comes out with Negascot. And Negascot walks off camera. And everyone's kind of like, you didn't fight him. And he's kind of like, he's actually a pretty cool guy. We're gonna go grab brunch on Wednesday. You know, we have a lot of things in common.
And please tell me that you're joking.
No.
Oh, my God.
So you don't.
Oh my God!
So you don't witness the battle. You don't witness what Negascot even is supposed to represent.
Oh my God!
They don't go into any of it.
Lame sauce. Mega lame sauce.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Comedically, it was funny, but I'm like, anyone, if you didn't read the comic, you don't know why he has a Negascot. You don't understand where he came from.
No.
All you know is he's the opposite of Scott.
Don't do this to me.
And you have no idea. Whereas in the comic, you know, he has to come to terms with Negascot.
Mel, a mega sad.
Yeah.
It's not right.
Yeah, and it totally threw off the movie. Like, I would have figured that he would have come to terms with Negascot before the big battle.
Right.
Because he wouldn't get the sort of...
Right.
Without that. But it came after, which makes no sense because he uses the sort of, you know what,
right,
during the big battle. So I was like, did someone tear out the page and glue it in the back of the book for the director? It was misplaced.
No!
It was horribly misplaced.
No, this makes me so sad.
It was.
Oh.
It was horribly misplaced. If you know anything about Ramona, like I said, she's kind of, she plays aloof.
Right.
So that she doesn't have to get too attached.
Right.
That's her deal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when she gets really attached to someone, she allows natural change to happen. Because, I mean, if you read the comic, you know, you find out that she doesn't like when things change without her action. She doesn't like when things just happen. She'd rather change things herself before change can happen to her. So that's why she's always changing her outfits, changing her hair. And I mean, and she does. She does change her hair a lot in the color-wise. But, I mean, if you go into the comic book, you know, the longer she's with Scott, because, I mean, the comic book was at least within a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this movie was literally within a week. So, I mean, they really crammed everything into a week, which
right.
really would have taken a year to do. And, you know, if you read the comics, when she, because she dates Scott for a while he's battling the X's, because they all don't just show up one week and say, all right, we're here.
Yep. Yay.
Yeah, exactly, Eshdog. Exactly. And, you know, when she's with him after a while, you know, she stops changing the color of her hair and she lets her hair grow out. So that's when you know that she's getting attached, because she grows comfortable about allowing change to happen. And you don't see that in this movie. Her hair pretty much stays the same style. I didn't feel a full Ramona. Granted, this actress did a great job portraying her, but there were certain, you know, details that I was expecting to come out in the movie that were not there. Have to say, though, probably my favorite character was Wallace.
Culkin.
Yeah, Karen Culkin did an amazing Wallace. Loved this portrayal. I mean, very straight to the point, very sarcastic, very around the circle.
Very Wallace.
I mean, literally every time that, when Scott would wake up from a dream, because remember, Ramona uses subspace
right.
to do her deliveries, or to at least get to certain places to make the deliveries, you know, and she always goes through Scott's mind. That's the convenience, because apparently his web space route is only like 3-something miles, so it's a lot easier to travel than anybody else's, which is why she uses it all the time. And that's in the comic if you didn't read it. But when he wakes up the first night, when he first sees Ramona, it's only Wallace in the bed. So then the second time it happens, it's Wallace and this other Scott. So, like, every time there's a wake-up scene, there seems to be more and more men in this full bed, this full-size bed on the floor. And literally the last one, there was, you know, Wallace, Scott's sister Stacy's ex-boyfriend, because Wallace steals him, him, the other Scott, and then this other random dude. So there's like 5 dudes in this one bed, and I'm like, okay, and we already know 4 of them are gay.
Yes.
It's like, oh, Scott, why? But, you know, still, and I mean, but he did he was amazing. Amazing portrayal of Wallace. I couldn't be happier with his performance. And I think the girl who played Roxy, I actually like her as an actress. And I think she did a great job playing this very self-conscious half-ninja. Though her battle with Scott, I think, was also kind of off. Because, I mean, if you read the comic, you know that she fights him in subspace. Or rather, she fights Ramona first in subspace, but it doesn't count as a duel because Scott's got to defeat her. Ramona can't. And in the movie, Ramona pretty much, you know, uses Scott to fight Roxy. Because that's, you know, to be technical, that's how it had to be happened. And in the book, you know, they pretty much just duke it out in the comic and he does win. But the way they did it in the movie, you know, he's fighting her with Ramona and then she gets, you know, he gets separated from Ramona and he has a problem hitting a girl. And Roxy's got no problems hitting Scott. None at all. And she goes in for this, you know, this attack and Ramona's like, you need to touch the back of her knee. And he's like, I don't get what you're, you know, and she's like, when we used to make out, I would touch it. And she would just, you know, and he's like, okay, I don't want to hear it. Because, you know, and he does. And he touches the back of her knee and literally half ninja goes into this weird twitchy orgasm thing. And she turns into this pile of coins, which doesn't make too much sense. Because in the comic, when that happens, she turns into a lot of bunnies and cute animal things. So, I mean, there are so many things that were either hit or missed in terms of particular battle scenes. But cohesively, it still does work as a film.
Okay, so my question on this is it, go see it in the theater, wait for the DVD, and if you wait for the DVD, rent or buy?
Okay, so obviously I went to go see it in theaters. I was dying to actually go see it on release, but I waited. For me personally, coming from reading the comics, if you were under the premise that the movie was going to be a lot more like the comic, I'd say go see it in theaters. Now, seeing it and seeing what they did with it, if I could go back in time with this concept still in mind.
That's back in time sound.
I would say wait for the DVD and buy it. And then if you're cheap, wait till it becomes available on Netflix.
There you go again with the Netflix.
Love it.
You're digging on it.
But, I mean, personally, I know for a fact that when it does come out on DVD, I'm going to buy it.
Right.
So I'd say, if you haven't seen
it. Even though they messed up the sort of... and
the... Yeah. But, I mean, besides that, I mean, the X's were all... They all really... really portrayed the X's. Like, I mean, the guy from the band, number three, Todd Ingram, the vegan, the one with the vegan power, psychic powers.
Mm-hmm.
They did such a great job with the vegan police.
Really?
Really. The guy from, the main character from Hung was one of the police.
Really?
Yeah, that dude. And I've seen the other guy, but I don't know what I've seen him from. And because pretty much the reason why Todd has these powers, the psychic ability, is because he doesn't eat meat. He's a vegan. He doesn't eat anything from an animal that has, like, a face. He goes through a big description about it. And what happens is, you know, Scott gets beaten up pretty bad, thrown through several walls, and he's in a coffee room, and he's got these two cups in his hand, and he's like, one's got half and half, and one's got soy in it, you know. And, you know, Todd's all, hair's all white, and he's like, you know, I know which one you put. I'm like, I'll take the one with the soy. And he grabs a cup, of, you know, one of the cups, and he drinks it. You know, and Scott's like, I've been sitting here while being beaten, and I've been thinking so hard about the cup that had half and half in it. You know, and I'm like, and I was thinking. And I was like, I was thinking so hard that that one was the soy milk. He's like, and you just drank half and half, bitch. And literally, the minute it happens, his hair starts to wilt. And he starts to lose his psychic ability. And no lie, this small, like, green bug smashes into the side of the... And Hung, I don't know what his name, the guy from Hung was.
I think it's Thomas Jane.
He comes in, and then this other guy, who I've seen before, but I don't know his name. And, you know, and Todd's like, wait, but this is, like, my first offense. Don't I get three strikes? And the other guy pulls out this tab, and he's just like, and on 2008, October this... You bit into chicken parmesan, you know, and everyone's kind of like, and he's like, chicken's not vegan. And like, and I mean, oh, it was great. I think with that battle, probably the big issue with that for me was, if you know anything about Scott's ex, Envy, and you get this different picture of her from the comic. And I mean, did this girl kind of portray Envy in portrayal? Yes. Visually, not really. And I feel pretty bad about that because, you know, animation-wise, Envy definitely looked like the bad girl's girlfriend.
Right.
And in this movie, granted, she wore white just like Todd Ingram, and she was blonde like Todd, but she didn't come off right to me.
Okay.
At all. Because the original Envy... You know, in the comic, you know, she had darker hair, you know, and it was longer, and she looked more menacing than Envy did in this movie.
Okay.
You know, and Scott always talked about Envy before she was Envy, and I believe her name was Natalie, or at least she went by Natalie before she went by Envy. You know, and Natalie looked different than Envy. Like, she looked wholesome, she looked regular. And Envy's a star, so obviously she's you know, popped up and poofed everywhere. And, you know, there was no difference between looks between Natalie and Envy in the movie, which, you know, is weird. And at the same time, Envy makes another, you know, ends up dating Gideon at the end of the comic, you know, and is there. And Envy is present during the big battle. But she wasn't in the movie. So, I mean, there were certain things that I was expecting to see happen that didn't happen in the movie that I really enjoyed in the comic. But like I said, still worth buying it on DVD. If you haven't seen it yet in the theaters, and you have
nothing... Do it!
If you have nothing to do...
Do it!
Then do it.
Support creative gaming-related crap that is awesome. And not really crap, but yeah. Just things. To do.
Not to mention the video game that Scott and Knives play at the beginning, that weird Ninja Revolution game. I don't know if you saw the trailers for that, but he likes to go play this particular game with her. And it's pretty much like a Dance Dance Revolution, but you're ninjas, so you like run and kick, and you do all this. And I'd like to see a game like that. Maybe with Kinect it will happen.
So you want somebody to make Ninja Revolution?
Ninja Revolution.
I think Konami might already be on it.
I hope so, because that looked really cool.
I would get on that. Mostly because, really, you know, cool. I am a ninja.
Yeah. But then wouldn't you be worried that people would be like learning your ways?
No, because you make a game and you don't give them all of it, you know? It's like, you don't teach somebody all of your techniques. You keep a couple for yourselves, so you can always put the smack down on them.
Right.
So, you know, you release, like, the well-known stuff, the popular stuff, but you keep the hidden ninja secrets hidden. You know, you don't put those out into the populace.
Okay.
Those are the only things that you learn in training.
Okay.
You don't put those in the video game. But you can put, like, the popular stuff out there. Like, you know, everybody knows about shurikens. There's no, like, secret shuriken.
Right.
You know,
right,
so...
Right, I get it. Okay.
But there are other weapons that we just don't talk about.
So, I mean, I've talked about the comic, and I've talked about the movie, but I haven't talked about the game yet.
Let's do that!
So, it is an homage to pretty much any and all love games...
8-bit!
...of 8-bit. I mean, when it opens up...
8-bit!
Yeah, more or less. And I mean, it's pretty standard. They give you the plot... Scott falls in love with Ramona, and he has to defeat her 7 evil ex-boyfriends.
First of all, even before you get into the game, the best thing about it for me is that after the opening, the first screen that you see before you even get into the game is the homage to the, you know, FBI warning, don't do drugs thing,
yep,
that flashed in every console of any 8-bit, even 16-bit games that you played back in the day.
And what does it say, Ninja?
No, I'm not telling him. You tell him.
All right. Oh, okay. Well, it says winners don't eat broccoli.
Yes! You know, and I'm just like, as soon as I saw that, I was like, I am home. This is for me. This is for me and my people. You know, it's those kinds of things. Like, I miss that screen. Like,
I think it was from William S. Broccoli, and I believe he was from the VBI.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they really... The humor is definitely present. So, I mean, you go through your opening credits, and then when it's time for you to pick your character, because there is a local co-op. So there's no cross-console.
Yeah, that's first bit of lame sauce about the game.
Yeah, more or less.
Okay.
And,
like, sucks ours majorly.
It does. So if you can get 4 friends together in your house, and you're not, like, living in Wallace's apartment where you probably couldn't fit 4 people in the same place, then... Have them bring their controllers and have at it. And that screen actually looks like, and I believe that would be Super Mario DOS.
Yes.
So, I mean, you got your 2, like, curtains and your lineup, and you can, you know, you can choose between Scott, Kim, Styles, or Ramona. And you can change their colors, and believe it or not, they all have an option to have the same colors as Scott.
Really?
Yeah. But obviously, I mean, I played Ramona, which obviously makes sense. And
Obviously. It's obvious.
Well, I wasn't gonna play Scott. And I didn't feel like I related with Kim in the comic very well.
So you have evil exes?
Yes. Not 7. Like 3.
I think your count might be off, but that's okay.
Maybe two and a half. 2.5 easy. 2.5 easy. But nowhere near 7.
I want to talk about the half. But anyway.
Oh. Anyway. Different podcast. Different podcast. But anyway, so I played Ramona. And when you finally pick your character and you go onto the screen, it actually looks like a tribute to Super Mario Brothers on the Super NES.
Yep.
So.
Super Mario World.
So, you know, you got your map. You got your little icon. And...
I really wanted to see, like, a little Yoshi going from one world to the other.
I'm surprised,
like,
they didn't.
Been awesome.
I'm surprised they didn't do that.
Like, create some sort of
animal
thing.
With sneakers.
That would, exactly, that would fit in the Pilgrim world.
They didn't.
That would have been, like, the complete, like, most awesome thing for me to see.
So.
Just saying.
So you travel from each really big yellow dot to a little dot. So there's a little dot with each big dot in the world, too. So, and you travel up this map, you know, and obviously each... You know, boyfriend is designated by a map. So, I mean, a number, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And if you remember, the twins count as 5 and 6.
Right.
So, I mean, at first I was like, wait a minute. I was like, oh, okay. So you actually fight the twins twice, which makes sense because they are two separate entities. And you go through each one, and I mean, it's pretty much like, think Streets of Rage, plus the Simpsons, plus
Streets of Rage.
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Oh my, yeah, just, I mean, and the 8-bit music was done by the band that was playing at PAX East. I probably am gonna, it sounds like Angamanga Dayo, but it's not that,
because it's that's not, an anime.
That's an anime.
Don't get that twisted. Okay, but that would be the wrong name.
It looks like that word, no. But it's
Anamanaguchi.
Yeah, there it is. And they did the music for the game. And they did a great job, and not to mention they do 8-bit music, so this was totally right. This was right up their alley. And you pretty much travel throughout Toronto trying to get to Gideon. And I played on Average Joe, which is normal. I believe the difficulty is when Average Joe, Rough and Tough, and I don't even know what the last one was. Probably Insane. No, I'm just kidding. But it was probably really bad. I didn't go there. But because I'm so used to these games being, you know, games today being a lot more, you know, button intensive, and, you know, it was so nice to go back to something a little simple. But at the same time, my fingers were so not used to the simple anymore. So I was like, wait a minute, what am I doing? And I was horrible. I was absolutely horrible at it by myself. And finally, when I got the chance to, you know, do some co-op, I was like, oh my God, this is so much easier. And it was so much fun. Like, it really is so much fun to go back in time and gaming and just enjoy that. I'd probably say that the only thing that gives the game out or nerfs it is would be there's a secret store, or it's actually not really a secret store, it's a video store that you get in the game, and when you go in there you can't buy anything from it because Scott has late fees that are due, about $506 in late fees, so you have to have that money when you go in, and when you pay out the late fees you can then buy from the store, and there are things in that store that will boost up all your stats. So I actually didn't know about it. Bremont told me that. And I had already been saving up because I'm like, there must be a reason why I need to unlock this.
Right.
So, I mean, I was just saving up money. And I finally got, you know, it all paid off. And the movies in the store give you boost stats. And there's a certain one that if you buy 7 of them, you'll completely max out to 100. And then you're just chock full of pwn.
Nice.
Which I
prefer to be chock full of pwn as opposed to not.
Yeah. So, I mean, the game plays pretty fluidly. Depending on who you play, the ending changes. Which I thought was really good because in most games.
Well, and it makes sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you, Bremo played solo as Scott, and he had let me know that if you play as Scott by yourself and beat it, you don't actually end up with Ramona at all, and you become like a pimp, and all the other chicks are all up on your dick. Like, what?
What?
Exactly. Which doesn't make any sense because he's been fighting for Ramona the whole fucking time. But that's okay. And I mean, me and Bramma played together last night. I was Ramona and he was Scott. And at the end of the game, turned out to be the end of the comic and the movie.
Okay.
But obviously, if you didn't see either of them, you wouldn't know that.
Right.
So I'm like, so I wonder if, depending on if, like, I played as Ramona and you played as Kim, if the ending would be different that way, depending on if you're doing a co-op, who's in, you know, who you're co-oping with. If that changes the story also, which I think would be really great to see the combinations change. I don't know if any other characters are unlockable, because obviously I've only done my first initial playthrough as of the other day.
Right.
But like I said, you only start off with those four, but I'd like to see you be able to play as Julie or as Knives or as Mobile. Well, they never even breached in the movie. They never went into Mobile.
At all?
No. Which I thought was weird because he was one of Wallace's concrete boyfriends who was around a lot more.
Right.
No. Never touched it.
Really?
Really. Ooh. Which I thought was really weird. So, I mean, and this game right now, I think right now it's only on the PS3, but I do believe it's making its way to Xbox. And I would say get it for both consoles.
Yeah.
Don't sell yourself short, because eventually what they're probably going to do is they're going to fix the game and make it, you know, cross-console, which I honestly think would promote more playing, honestly. But I didn't make it. I can't do any of the coding stuff that would allow that to happen, but you game developers who made this game need to hop on that really fast, because you're denying us awesomeness across the webs.
Yeah, and you don't want to do that.
So, buy the game, and if you don't have any money, and you have friends who have jobs who have money, have them buy you money on the PS3 tip and save your Xbox points.
Can't we just have one system? Can we all just use like dollar amounts and be done with it?
I don't know why.
I don't care at this point that DLC cost me $5 or $6 or $19. I just want to know how much money I'm actually spending without having to do like serious math and do point to dollar conversions.
I don't even do that. I'm just like, old. 80 sounds cheap. $80 t-shirt, that sounds cheap.
Wait, no. $80 Microsoft points is cheap. $8 t-shirt, boy.
Oh, that's what
that t-shirt really better be something.
It better make waffles.
It had better make me waffles in the morning and tell me that I'm beautiful no matter what every 10 minutes.
You're fierce.
It should. That's what my shirt should say. It should also smell like fierce from Abercrombie.
Twigs, friction, you're hot.
Love it.
No, but I meant 80 Microsoft points for a t-shirt because, I mean, I've been spending a lot of my Microsoft points on clothes. Which is really funny because I've spent more money on fake clothes lately than
real clothes. That's pretty bad. That's when you know that you're starting to have a problem and you should back up off it. But I'm at the same place. Although the last thing that I bought was my Save Carmine t-shirt because you all know where I stand. And my avatar is currently wearing it right now.
See, I'm thinking I might put more money on my Xbox because I actually want to buy the Ramona outfit.
See, my thing with the Ramona outfit is it's cute.
She doesn't ever wear the goggles.
Yeah,
and I wanted it up here.
Yeah, it was my thing.
It throws me off.
And I'm just like, goggles is not white.
Believe it or not, she doesn't even wear that in the movie.
Right. What? Right. Wait, what?
Yeah.
What? What?
Her clothes look similar to that style, but she, nope. Like, at the party, she's wearing, like, a pink shirt and a blue skirt, but it's not the traditional. And in the game, you know, she wears, she does wear the jacket, the blue jacket, but, like, she's not wearing a skirt. It's like a, like Japanese gym shorts.
Really?
Yeah, I think that might have just been a stylistic choice in the game.
No, I want, you know, the comfy.
Well, I think they gave her shorts because if she was kicking in a skirt all the time, there'd be nothing but crotch shots.
But it's 8-bit.
I know, so there's really no crotch, because it's 8-bit.
Right, because it's 8-bit.
But anyway, let's get off Scott Pilgrim, and I know you got something to share.
I'll get Scott Pilgrim off. What?
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 Did you just say that?
Well, I might have.
Yeah, I think you did.
That's bad.
All right, well, what do you got for
I want to talk about the thing that is pissing me off right now.
The economy?
Imagine. Well, okay, well...
The second thing that's pissing me off?
I'm going to talk about something in addition to the economy that's pissing me off right now.
Awesome!
Because we all know how I feel about comic books in general. I love them. I love them a lot.
Yes.
Okay? Like, I almost want to say that comic books make me horny. I love comic books.
Would you almost. Would you make out with one?
It depends. Like, are we talking, like, Silver Age? Are we talking like, you know, mint condition? Are we talking like issue one?
You wouldn't want to make out with mint condition because you ruined the safe.
No, the bag. I wouldn't take it out of the bag. Duh!
Oh, good.
I'll kiss the bag.
Protection.
Like,
okay.
Ooh, issue number one is Amazing Spider-Man. My precious. I might. I'm not even going
to
lie.
All right. No point in lying. Be honest. Be true to yourself.
I'm, if nothing, I'm true to myself. But... no comic book to movie thing has aggravated me more that I've talked about more.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep.
Than X-Men.
Yes.
Okay. I love the Uncanny X-Men. I still have many of my comics from when I was a kid. All in bags. All never see the light of day. And we all know how I felt about the last X-Men movie.
Oh!
Because I refuse to lump the Wolverine movie.
Oh my god,
where
please
they screwed over Deadpool. I don't even like to acknowledge.
See, I saw the linked version and they made one person look like the Silver Surfer. I think it was during a CG.
Yeah.
So it was all messed up. We're like, we didn't know the Silver Surfer was in this movie.
Yeah. I refuse to acknowledge its existence in the X-Men movie timeline. Or that it was even made. Which hurts me myself, because typically I like Hugh Jackman, but no, that's an abomination before the Lord, and I don't acknowledge its existence. And I thought that after the Wolverine movie, and they had talked about doing the Deadpool movie, and they pretty much put the kibosh on that, and now Ryan Reynolds is going to be the Lantern, and I hope that that doesn't get fucked up, because
Do you think he could do it?
He could. You know, that's the thing that I loved about the Lantern Corps, is that there were so many different types of people from all over the universe that were called to be the Lantern, and not everybody was good, not everybody was bad, not everybody was buff, not everybody was smart, you know, but they had something.
Right.
You know, I think...
Wasn't the first one black, though? The first Lantern?
I don't think the first Lantern was black.
All right.
But...
Wasn't there a black Lantern?
Yes.
All right. Anyway. That's a nice hero name, Black Lantern.
The Black Lantern! You have to say it like that. Anyway, I'm digressing. I hope that the Lantern movie doesn't suck, because... It's Ryan Reynolds, and I like excuses to look at him.
Me? I don't even need an excuse.
And I like excuses to look at him in tight-fitting outfits.
I don't need an excuse for that either.
I know, but I like having the excuse.
Isn't he married to Alanis
Morissette? I don't know. I don't keep up with that kind of piece of it. I just like to look at Ryan Reynolds' body. I don't need to know who he's married with. Anyway.
Whoever it is gets to see that all the time.
Come on, I don't want to get jealous. Let's focus.
Too late, I'm jealous.
All right. Anyway.
Bitch, whoever you are, get away from my man. Our man, because I'll share. You can have him on Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. I'll have him Tuesday, Thursday, Saturdays. And Sundays we'll flip.
Deal. Anyway. Getting back to what I was talking about. Sorry, Ryan Reynolds.
Sorry.
He'd be running through my mind.
We just love you. You're hot.
Running through from left to right. Anyway.
Up and down.
Come on, Ed. Dependent.
Sorry.
Focus.
Sorry.
The thing that's pissing me off.
That's right. We're angry.
We're angry. Grr face. Here's the thing.
Oh, I'll make that grr face.
Stop it. Stop it. We're going down.
Sorry.
Back. So the thing that's ticking me off. X-Men. First class. It's a thing, people. And it shouldn't be a thing.
It's a thing that shouldn't be a thing?
It's a thing. It should not be a thing. But it
is
a thing. Okay. So what they've decided to do, because they couldn't leave well enough alone.
They already fucked it up, but now they want to fuck it down too.
Because they messed up Phoenix Saga, and you all know, if you read the comic books, that the Phoenix Saga was one of my more favorite arcs throughout Uncanny X-Men. And, you know, it mostly because Professor X got some booty.
Yeah.
Which, you know, poor paralyzed dude.
He tapped that ass.
Was awesome, okay? And then there were some things that were... explained about, you know, people like Cyclops and Jean Grey. That was cool. No, we didn't do that in the last X-Men movie. Now they're doing X-Men First Class, which the comic book series basically ran from, I think, like 2006 to 2007.
Oh, only a year.
Yeah, because they were basically one-off stories. It wasn't like a complete linear story. There were a couple of two-parters, and then each individual...
Like a vignette?
Almost, you know, in comic book form, which is really neat because I thought that it gave you a little bit of a different look and feel to the X-Men group. So this basically is before Professor X is Professor X, and before Magneto is Magneto.
Okay.
Okay, first class. The first group, like... first developing the school, first finding,
right,
you know, kids out there.
Powerful. Okay.
And basically picking up kind of like where the Wolverine movie that came out
right, okay,
left off. you know, where all the kids got freed from. I'm not spoiling anything, and if I am, well, I'm sorry. Trust me, you don't want to watch
the movie anyway.
Where the kids were freed from capture, and the professor was there with the ship. He was like, "Come with me. I have a special school." And Magneto's like on the plane, and they're like, "Okay." So First Class is really the development of a gifted mutant team, and it's basically Xavier and Magneto figuring out
what they want to do,
how to help mutants.
Okay.
Because that's what they want to do. Like, the whole big thing about the two of them was that they wanted to help mutant kind not have to suffer any atrocities because they weren't exactly like humans.
Right.
And then where the split became between the two of them was what was the best way to pursue that path. Magneto eventually went the path of dominate them so they have no other choice.
Right, I know that.
And Professor X went the path of, no, we're all equal and need to coexist. And even that's when they split.
We're equal except I can fly and he can turn into fire and she can manipulate anybody and that guy's just blue and crawls at night and stuff.
No, that's not just what Nightcrawler does.
I know.
What exactly? Alan Cummings is blue and he goes poof.
What else does he do?
He can transport.
Okay.
Remember, because he had to go and try to transport, and he was with
And the guy,
Storm,
the guy,
and he's like, I don't know where we're going to land. We could end up in a wall, but I'll try. Which, by the way, I do think Alan Cumming was a great Nightcrawler.
Yeah, I do. I completely agree.
All right, so anyway, enough of that.
Coming in the night.
Coming in your hair. Anyway,
I love it. Coming where he doesn't know. Because he teleports, because he doesn't know. But he's coming.
Surprise! So here's the thing that is really a thing that shouldn't be a thing. The comic books are being turned into a movie.
But if they're all vignettes, how would that... They can't make something linear that isn't linear.
So here's
the thing. But they're gonna try anyway.
Yep. So they've got some people that I really don't know by, like, name who the hell they are playing people.
Oh, I know James McAvoy. I know that. I know that name.
Yeah. So he's going to be Professor X.
What?
Yeah. Kevin Bacon is going to be Sebastian Shaw. Yeah. I know. They're still trying to work out who's going to be Moira Taggart. But it's a real thing. They've started to film, okay? Jennifer Lawrence is going to be Mystique. Okay. So here's some of my issues. Like, right off the bat, people, why are we doing this? Like, really? I
understand that you want to tap into a demographic that would easily come out of pocket, but you have to give us something worth...
But you keep fucking it. That's the problem. Okay, like, for instance, okay, the Green Hornet movie looks good. But I fucking love Seth Rogen to begin with. Okay, and Green Hornet was fun. Okay, and it looked from the trailers that they just went to go along for the ride of fun. They didn't fuck it. They took it out to dinner, okay, and they were like, hey, I really like you. We should go for bike rides and stuff. Maybe have a picnic. Like, that's what they did with Green Hornet. With the X-Men series, it's literally like you get no lube, you get no dinner.
You're in a back alley.
Put your face down and take it. And I'm so upset. Like, this does not need to happen.
Understand.
And this is nothing against Kevin Bacon because I love Kevin Bacon. I love Kevin Bacon in Wild Orchard. I love Kevin Bacon. But why? Like, really? In your soul of all souls, why are we doing this?
To make money.
Okay, I'm so upset, I can't even get my words out. The Star Trek movie, which was a prequel, was good.
I know.
You want to know why it was good?
Because they didn't fuck it?
Because they didn't fuck it. They went, oh, we're going to create a parallel universe, so that way we can fuck with the storyline, and you'll be okay with it. You'll be like, oh,
and you know
this
what?
Isn't the Star Trek that I know. This one's going to be different. I'm going to come along for the ride. Let's do this.
that with the X-Men, and you can't screw with the beginning of the X-Men!
Because then they wouldn't be X-Men at all.
No, they'd be something else! Why? Why? Why?
I'm sorry, sis. I'm sorry.
It's not me. I'm not fucking them. It's not me.
I mean, why is the chick from Mad Men Emma Frost? Wait.
Right, okay.
Why? Why?
Because she's pretty and sexy and they wanted someone pretty and sexy?
There are plenty of pretty and sexy people that could be Emma Frost.
Like who? Who in your mind would be the idea?
Like young Emma Frost. Okay. So Emma Frost is supposed to be aloof. Okay. And because as you go through the story, like, it literally goes to a point where first part of the Brotherhood, that she's evenish.
Ish.
And then when you have the Gen X thing happen, she ends up switching and starts to take over the school and train the kids at the Xavier School. Because when you go down that arc, Xavier dies, and then Wolverine and Storm are a thing, and then they're running.
That's right. I remember because they bumpy.
And with the bumpy, which, by the way, was one of my more favorite pairings for Wolverine, because I was never a big fan of Wolverine getting with Jean Grey to begin with.
I know. I think she kind of, she did what she did.
And it still pisses me off that they did the whole Rogue infatuated with Wolverine thing in the movie, because it's supposed to be Halle Berry. But anyway.
I know. Does Hugh Jackman have a problem with blackness?
No, he doesn't.
He didn't.
But they couldn't sell that. And I'm like, why? Anna Paquin. Really?
Sookie?
Really? That's where we're going to go.
Bill!
We're going to go Anna Paquin, and we're going to make it, like, this close to pedophilia? Really? When you got Halle Berry just over here?
Yeah, but then we're
by herself, looking all shy. When we've already seen her titties. Really?
You know, and I wonder if she got that one fixed from Sorp.
Well, she was kind of sitting outside on Swordfish, so I don't think it was necessarily.
It looked a little dilapidated.
It was.
No offense, Hallie. Did someone sit on your boobie?
It wasn't. It wasn't the right way for her to sit to
no,
show
she
off.
She should have been laying on her belly with her boobs pushed
right,
together,
when it was just like hey, this is Halle Berry's cleave. You know, and yeah, that would have
been enough.
When we got to Monsters Ball, Halle Berry, there was nothing wrong with them.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
No.
They're Ninja Sister and Pandalicious approved. But anyway, I'm going to tell you people right now, I don't care if somebody sends me tickets and a trunk full of money. I have no intentions whatsoever of seeing this movie, and it shouldn't be made.
But you still haven't answered. Who do you think would be your ideal Emma Frost?
Okay, so
going back to that question.
Because Emma needs to be aloof, okay, and she needs to be not a bitch, but she needs to be cold. Even at a young age, you know, I would want somebody like, I'm trying to think, blonde, who would be able to pull it off. Chloe Sevigny.
Okay.
You know, like, she could do it. Because Emma wasn't really all action-y to begin with, especially because of her power. Like, she wasn't having to, like, fly in the air all the time and all that kind of shit. So, like, yeah, she could do it. And she's hot.
Let me permeate.
Yeah, like, absorb that and then spit that back out. Like, a lot of people, like, are still seeing her right now in, you know, as a Mormon because she's in Big Love. But no, go back.
Oh, I love her in Big Love.
Okay, but go back. Because Chloe has been in some movies where she's been kind of badass and scary. And I think that she could do it. Like, she could do the whole aloof. And she can do youngish. And because at this stage of the game, it's not, like, teenage young. So, like, she's the first one that comes to mind. Like, if I spent some more time on it and ran through IMDb and looked at the young ingenue list, like, I'm sure I could come up with some other people.
Right.
You know, and Emma, you know, needs to have the accent. So if you really want to go there, what's her face that plays Hermione, but she'd have to dye her hair?
Oh, I actually think her name is Emma.
Yeah, her name is Emma Thompson.
No.
IMDb, but I do.
Emma Watson?
Yes.
Okay, Yeah, you can see I'm not a big Harry Potter person.
I'm like, she's hot. And so are the twins.
But
I want them.
You know, she's got the natural accent. She would have to go blonde for it because Emma is blonde.
But you know what? But she has a skin tone that I think she could do blonde well.
Right. You know, so those would be the kind of like people I could see doing it.
Okay.
You know, but there's no reason to do it. I mean, the whole line for the comic didn't run long anyway. I really feel like they went, oh, look, they're reinventing Star Trek, and people went along with it. Let's reinvent X-Men, because we kind of fucked it up.
No, because you fucked it up already. Leave it alone.
I'm pissed about it. I want to know what you guys think, especially the comic book nerds, especially. I'm doing my Lewis Black, like, two-finger, like, pointing thing.
Yeah, I see. It's very intense.
Especially if you read X-Men. Either from the point of Phoenix Saga up, or actually, like me, read First Class. I want to know. So make sure that you hit us up. mailbag@landofesh.com. I want to know. Because I'm pissed. I want to know.
She wants to know right now.
Yeah. Like
all you mutants out there that are reading her mind, you better be like emailing her right now.
That's all I got. All
right.
So make sure that you hit us up on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can visit us by going to the short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce you to the long one. You can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or even questions for us, like we mentioned, the new email address, mailbag@landofesh.com.
Yep.
If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you need to go to iTunes and subscribe.
We like your subscriptions. You want to know why we like your subscriptions? Because one, we know you like us. And two, we know that you're going to get the Eshness in its entirety as soon as we put it out. And trust me, that's what you want. You want fresh Esh. Settle for nothing less.
And if you don't want to do that, you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But make sure that you're looking out for the great shows that come out of our camp as well.
That's right. We're not the only things that exist in the Land of Esh. So after you listen to an episode of our podcast on Monday, make sure that Tuesday you bounce over to the Boston Bastard Brigade to craft a brand new episode of their podcast, which is co-hosted by our very own King Baby Duck. And on Wednesday, you can listen to Deuces Wild with an episode of Geek Aggro right up in your ear hole. Right to hump day.
And who knows what else might come on to the Esh family.
Who knows?
We do, but you don't.
Right. We have a secret.
And I'm not spoiling it.
Yeah, right.
I haven't yet.
Well, let's keep that streak going. But you can also check out, in order to keep the awesomeness rolling as far as things from the Land of Esh, check out the things that we put up on our respective websites. Or if you want to get it all in one place, you can go to landofesh.com and get everything that's new from all the websites put together in one happening space, including our magazine, which you can buy. The August issue is still available. New issue. I'm so not used to being in print yet. New issue available shortly, and we'll have some preview things for you to take a look at soon for that, guys. So make sure that you're out on the lookout, because the Electric Sisterhood magazine is like no other magazine out there. It's just not.
Because none of us write for any other magazine.
We're only in one place, and that place is full of awesome sauce. And that place
is own.
No, just kidding.
No.
Oprah's not our friend yet, but she should totally follow us on Twitter. So, what shit do you have that you like?
I like gummy bears. They are delicious.
Yeah.
I also like rainbows.
Double rainbows all the way? But what does it mean? Yeah, I went there. That's what's up.
And, Scott Pilgrim, the video game.
Ooh, good choice.
And you?
I'm gonna go with Marshmallow Fluff, because I'm home, and it comes, you know, from Lynn, so that's awesome. And, roast beef sandwiches. Shaved off the roast, not that Arby's stuff, because that's not really roast beef, but that's another podcast. And we are tagged as explicit, right?
Yeah.
Hypnotic, because it's the drink of champions. Mostly champions named Ninja Sister.
Oh, and my drink of the week is Patron.
Unfortunately.
Woo!
Yeah.
Nah.
So, no. As always, what?
No.
What? As always, I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Panalicious.
And we are out of here. See you next week.
Peace.